Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's epistle from Galatians, we hear of the Spirit in the flesh, and we hear the invitation for what a man sows, that he will also reap. And so when we have the opportunities in the spiritual life to sow, we know that Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, it is He who gives us the motto of the sower. He who in the Gospels, He preaches on the sower in the parable. But He sows a perfect seed. We, in our faith, it is there that the seeds that we sow are not perfect unless they are sown with the Lord. To be able to plant the very seeds that He offers for us. We know growing up in an agricultural area what it is to have perfect farming, and perhaps more apparently what it is to have less than perfect farming. For we know that it is God in His goodness that makes the seed that is planted to rise. It is the Lord who allows for the right amount of water and sun to allow this great miracle to take place. Who here in our midst can create the sun, or create the right amount of rain, or create the perfect element for seed and soil to connect? But it is here where in our lives of faith we recognize that it is easy to be deceived. As St. Paul in this epistle in the Galatians unfolds for us. It is the Spirit, though, that counsels us, that instructs us, and we are taught that in our faith, that through the very gifts of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the piety, the fortitude, fear the Lord, and counsel, that it is there, the outpouring of the Spirit, that our lives are filled with this great grace of God to be able to recognize what is of the Lord and what is not. It is there when the effects of the Spirit are present and we sow our seeds of faith, of prayer, of sacrifice, of offering our hearts daily to the Lord, that that would be the fertile ground that He would plant deep within us, His love and His mercy, that the beautiful effects of the Spirit are evident, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the generosity, and the self-control. But it is in the heart that is dormant. It is in the heart that is of the flesh, a heart that is consumed with the things of this world, the greed, the lust, the envy, the sloth, the gluttony. It is in this way that the heart is ensnared. It becomes barren ground. The seed of the Lord cannot be planted there when the flesh is in charge. We live in a culture, brothers and sisters, as we have seen, especially this summer, where the flesh is to be proclaimed in our culture, unfortunately. But at the same time, whether it's a Supreme Court ruling, or whether it's watching the news and watching a woman in Kentucky stand up for one man, one woman marriage, we see what happens in a world where the flesh takes over the heart and makes the heart a barren place. The Lord cannot force the seed into the barren ground. It is a free relationship in exchange. It is a free relationship in exchange where the seed of goodness will find the heart that is open, perhaps wounded, but an open heart to the Lord is a fertile heart. A heart that is open only to the Spirit is a closed heart, a barren heart, if it is a heart that is informed by the flesh, by sin. A heart open to the Spirit is a fertile heart. A heart that is set on the flesh and of the world is barren. Fertile is the Spirit, barren is the flesh. It is in the Gospel today from Luke that we hear and see and sense the encounter of Jesus with the man at Nain. He is an only son. And in the Jewish tradition, in the lineage, it is the son that carries the name. He carries the property. He carries the family forward, so to speak, in a worldly sense. But it is here he is the only son of his mother. A seemingly sad scene is the bier or the funeral procession with the body up on sort of a stilt, something that we don't practice here very often, carried on the shoulders of men of the village. But it is there where Jesus, seeing the scene, seeing the mother's sorrow, recognizing faith, recognizing a deeper internal desire, he has compassion on her and says, "Do not weep." It is this compassion that Jesus looks upon each of us when we have died, so to speak, and we have allowed our hearts to be overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That becomes us who is carried in that procession. Our lives, when they're overcome by sin, they result in death. But Jesus, as he gazes upon this scene, he gazes similarly upon us who are all but dead to sin. It is there where he gazes upon the man and he touches the very stretcher and he says, "Young man, I say, arise." And he who is dead sits up and has life and begins to speak. It is similarly in our own hearts. When there's barrenness, when there is death, in our own lives, when we are on the stretcher, that Jesus gazes upon us and invites us to rise. Can our Lord do that for our culture? Can our Lord do that for here in the United States? We have seemingly turned this land into a barren land, a land flowing with sin and vice. But the Lord can transform. He can heal and he can restore. And we entrust our own hearts where we have turned away from the Spirit, from the beautiful gifts and the resultant fruits. We give him our hearts where there has been barrenness. And it is in that act of surrender the Lord meets us. It is he who can bring life where there is death. It is the Lord who can transform us from sinful men, women, and children into those that strive for holiness. Lord, we need you. We desire you. We long for you. Save us from ourselves and lead us in the pathways of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.